All right, good morning. All right, turn to the book of 1 John. It's in the New Testament toward the end. Turn there if you can, 1 John. And we're going to be in chapter 3 this morning. We've been in 1 John for a little while now. It's our 11th sermon, going through verse by verse, the book of 1 John. Title this morning is From Condemnation to Confidence. From Condemnation to Confidence. 1 John 3, 19 through 24. So I just ask you this morning, how are you doing? How do you feel? How do you feel about your faith? I remember early in my life as a Christian, I learned this lesson that feelings are not important. And I'm not saying this is true. But that feelings are only the caboose and that faith is the locomotive. I had people draw this picture for me on a napkin. And maybe that's maybe helpful. I'm not saying it's not helpful at all. But you can sort of discount your feelings and live as a Christian as if that doesn't matter how you feel about your faith. The passage we're looking at this morning is going to talk to our heart and ask us this question: how do we feel about our faith? You know, the greatest commandment, Jesus said, is to love the Lord your God with all your heart. All your mind, all your strength. So we are people that are, you know, we have minds. We believe great truths with our thoughts and our minds, and it's important. But God made us with feelings and with hearts, and we are to follow Christ, if we believe in him, with all of who we are. And so, how do you feel? I ask my kids every birthday, when they wake up in the morning, it's kind of a habit. I say, you know, do you feel the age that they just turned? So this morning, we had two of our daughters, our twins, they turned 5. I said, do you feel 5? No, I feel 4 still. To which another one of our daughters, who's like twice their age, says, it's okay, I still feel 4 too. And I thought, that's interesting. But it's true though, right? Like, how do you make sure that you believe these truths, but also that your feelings catch up with the truths that you believe and that your head and your heart, which are not that far apart in your body, are aligned in your faith? That's where we're going and looking at this morning. It's interesting. A famous pastor in Chicago, D.L. Moody, he was telling a story about another famous pastor, John Wesley. He's telling the story. I'll read it to you. And John Wesley had been preaching for some time. And someone said to him, are you sure, Mr. Wesley, of your salvation? Well, he answered, Jesus Christ died for the whole world. The person said, yes, we all believe that. But are you sure that you are saved? Wesley replied that he was sure that provision had been made for his salvation. But are you sure, Wesley, that you are saved? It went like an arrow to his heart, and he had no rest or power until that question was settled. Many men and many women go on month after month and year after year without power because they do not know their standing in Christ. They are not sure of their own footing for eternity. In the 1500s, there were these two Christians who were burned at the stake, I know that's crazy, in Oxford. And they had written letters to each other, and one of them, Hugh Latimer, said to the other one, Nicholas Ridley, he said that when he was settled and steadfast about his own salvation, he was as bold as a lion. But if that hope became eclipsed, he was fearful and afraid and was disqualified for service. And so this morning, we want to go from condemnation to confidence. We want to be as bold as a lion. You know, really, if you think about it, there are kind of like three kinds of people. I'm going to just quickly give them to you, and we're going to read this passage. But there are those who are outside of Christ. They are not believing in Christ. Yet, they are falsely confident that things are okay. So they are maybe in a place of what the scriptures would say, a place where there is condemnation for their sin before a holy God. yet they are falsely confident. That's one kind of person. Then there are those who are in Christ. And it is true over their life because of their faith in Christ that there is no condemnation. And we'll talk more about this. Yet, they are not confident about it. They're not confident about their salvation that they do have. And then there is a third kind of person who is in Christ. There is no condemnation on their life. And they have a biblically grounded confidence about their faith. This is a useful Christian, a joyful Christian, bold as a lion. And so our goal today is that for everyone, you know, from condemnation to confidence. So let me read this passage to you. You'll see the focus in this passage is on the heart. That's why we're going where we're going with it. Let me read the passage to you, and then I will pray, and then we will dive into our outline this morning. Chapter 3, verse 19. By this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our heart before Him. For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and He knows everything. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. And whatever we ask, we receive from Him because we keep His commandments and do what pleases Him. And this is His commandment, that we believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as He commanded us. Whoever keeps His commandments abides in God and God in him, and by this we know that He abides in us by the Spirit whom He has given us. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You this morning for Your word. Lord, we come in to this time of worship, and You know, Lord, where our heart is at before You. Maybe we've shared that with someone, and maybe we have not shared a heaviness on our heart or a doubt that we feel. Wherever we're at, Lord, I pray You would use the truths of this passage of Scripture this morning, not just to affect our minds, but to affect all of us, Lord, our hearts, that we might be in a place of boldness, a place of confidence, a place of assurance and joy in our faith. And it's in Christ's name we do pray. Amen. Okay, well, this passage gives to us five reliable sources of confidence for the heart of every Christian. Five reliable sources of confidence for the heart of every Christian. I want to give you the first one, and it's coming from verse 19. It's confidence in love. Confidence in love. So look at verse 19. It says this, by this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our heart before Him. All right, so think about this. Like John is writing to his original readers and through them and by extension to us, and it's like he envisions these people needing to reassure their own heart. He says, you can do that. He says, with this. You see that? That was the first statement. He said, by this you can do it. And you say, well, what is this? Well, sorry, it's coming from the passage last week, and we studied that last week, so I'm sorry if you missed that. No, it's right in the passage before this one. He's carrying over what he was talking about in chapter 3, 11 through 18, and he's saying, by those things that we talked about, you can take that, and you can reassure your heart, and you can know that you're of the truth. And you say, well, what was it? What was it last week? What was it in that passage? And it was love. Look at verse 14. Look at verse 18. I'll put them up. This is from that passage. He says, we know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death. He goes on in verse 18, little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and truth. The idea here is that you want to reassure your heart that you are of the truth, that you are a follower of Christ. Look into your life. Look into your relationships. Look into your heart. Do you find there an affection for brothers and sisters in Christ, for the family of God? Do you find there a Christ-like love for the church? You know you are a bird if you have wings. You know you're an insect if you have six legs. You know you're from the South if you like sweet tea and say y'all. And one way, according to John, that you know with assurance that you are of the truth, that you're a Christian, is by observing in your life a Christ-like love and real affection for the family of God. Five reliable sources of confidence for the heart of every Christian. Number one, confidence in love. Number two, confidence in God. Confidence in God. Look at verse 20. For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and He knows everything. What a great verse. The picture here is a courtroom. One person condemning another before a judge. So picture this, right? Picture this verse. God is the judge. Your heart is the accuser. You are the accused. Picture that picture. He's like, whenever your heart condemns you, God is greater than your heart. Make a note of it. It says, whenever your heart condemns you. Not if. You say, Matt, you know, to be honest with you, I don't doubt ever. I have a totally intellectual faith. I'm not affected at all by the woes of feelings. And this 1 John series and all of its challenges and all of the tests of genuineness of faith, I've gone relatively unaffected. I'm doing great. No problems here. Friend, if that's you, perhaps you're not listening to the Spirit. Because when we put up the standard of 1 John Christianity and we measure our lives by it, we, like John's readers, might doubt. We might have a heavy heart at times. And we are frail people. And some of us with our particular temperament are more prone than others, but all of us at times will have our doubts. And that is what John is addressing here. As he's given them the tests of love, as he's given them the test of obedience to see whether they are in the faith, he realizes maybe some of them, their heart is condemning them. He says, here's what you do with that. And what is it? Remember, God is greater than your heart. First off, we need to realize the heart is deceptive. The heart can mislead. Your heart is not the infallible guide to all things in life. When you have doubts, sometimes you should doubt your doubts. Consider as well that your doubts may be evidence of your faith. Sometimes we are wrestling with doubt and really we're just growing in faith. You know, the world is not struggling with this question of assurance. They're not wrestling with doubting. Their hearts are not saying to them, maybe you're not a real Christian. They're not even concerned about it. And the fact that we are may be some form of evidence of the inclination of our heart. But where does he go here? I mean, again, the point here is confidence in God. He says, God is greater than your heart. The challenge here is to get our focus off of ourselves and fixed on God and on His provision for us through Jesus Christ's death on the cross for us. Robert Murray McShane, in addition to the one-year Bible reading program, has an awesome quote. I love to share it. I look at myself in the mirror one time for every 10 times I look at Christ on the cross. Focus on God, not just on our feelings and on our heart. God is great. That's what John is saying. Focus on God. He is great. And then he says, you know, look at this. Verse 20, we're still there. And he knows everything. Whoa, is that good? Is that supposed to be good news? How is that good news? How would that help me in assurance to know that God knows everything? I mean, he is all-knowing. You and I are fully known by God. all our secret, sinful thoughts and attitudes, our actions past, present, and still future. Friends, what this is reminding us of is that there's not some sort of thing that others don't know and that maybe God doesn't know that might disqualify you. He's saying God is greater than your feelings, and God already knows all those things that your heart is taking to accuse you. You focus on God. You focus on God's provision for you and for your salvation. If our faith is in the gospel, is in the grace of God, we are fully and unconditionally loved. Romans 5:8 says, God demonstrates his love for us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus' love and death on the cross for you and me is constant. He loves us and pursues us on our best day. And even better, he loves us and pursues us the exact same on our worst day. One pastor says this, the gospel is this, we are more sinful and flawed in ourselves than we ever dared believe. Yet at the very same time, we are more loved and accepted in Jesus Christ than we ever dared hope. It's amazing, really. I mean, this is a reliable source of confidence for the heart of me as a Christian, this confidence in God. I'm not going to be this self-absorbed, self-doubting, only mirror-looking into Christian. I'm going to look to God. I'm going to look to Calvary and gain assurance. We need to talk to ourselves with the truth of the gospel, not just listen to ourselves. Romans 8:1 is a verse I leave you with for this point. There is, therefore, now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus, is your faith in Christ Jesus? Then despite what your heart may tell you, there is no condemnation. Five reliable sources of confidence for the heart of every Christian. Love, and then God, and now prayer. Now prayer. This is coming from verses 21 through 22. Let me read these verses to you. It says, Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. This is a great encouraging verse about prayer. Now let's unpack this verse just a little bit here. How do we interpret this verse? How do we interpret this verse, 1 John 3:22? I mean, I want you to really look at this verse because this verse challenges us to really ask a question. What's it saying? I mean, let me read it to you again. And whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. I mean, what do we do with verses like this or other ones like it? I'll give you an example, a couple more. John 14, verse 14. Anything in my name and I'll do it. Mark 11, 24. Whatever you ask, believe you've received it and it will be yours. All right. Got us a game plan now. So when you pray, according to these three verses, I'm joking here. Be a really good person. Check. Say Jesus a lot. You know, fillers, like if you can't come up with something, just keep saying Jesus' name. It helps. And then believe it before you get it. Believe it into existence. God, I just want to say in Jesus' name, I want to thank you right now. Before you've even provided it, I want to thank you that it's already here. It's already here, God. This is what happens. So what do we do with these verses, though? Because, like, this is what these verses almost sound like. So how do we interpret these verses? All right, let's talk it through. Time out from the sermon. We're going into the classroom, whiteboard, all that. Here we go. Let's take it literal without thinking of any other context. That's what most people do, okay? So in that sort of line of thinking, we read this verse, 1 John 3:22, and it teaches us, again, this is one way of thinking, we get whatever we pray for if we follow a formula for our life and our prayers. Okay? So let's follow that logic. Let's go down this line. So literally, that's what we're thinking here. But I know me and I know you, we'll pray for some silly stuff. True? Okay. That kind of makes God to be a genie, a cosmic ATM machine. That doesn't sound like biblical Christianity. That kind of sounds like quid pro quo. Oh, you know, listen, just in case you don't know what that means, it's Latin. It means something for something. That kind of sounds like a trade-off. That doesn't sound right. That doesn't sound like Christianity. So we can't read that verse that way. Okay, but let's keep it here. Let's keep thinking about this like the way we are, and let's go down a different line with it. Okay, so let's take it for real. So then we do the formula, but we don't get what we pray for. So where does that leave us? Well, either the Bible is not true, which means God didn't tell you the truth, or you didn't do the formula right. You didn't pray it right. You're not living right. Your faith isn't big enough. Do over. Go back to go. Start over. Keep trying until you get it. Something's broken in your formula. Well, okay, so let's keep following that line of logic. That doesn't sound right. That sounds exhausting. That sounds hurtful. That sounds like a game where there's winners and losers. Is that what God wants for his children? Is that what you want for your kids? We're not even good parents. Like, God is a perfect heavenly father. Okay. So let's just go a different direction with this verse then. Let's think about it this way. Let's think about maybe 1 John 3:22 needs to be interpreted in light of other scriptures. So we're taking it not out of context, but in context. We'll stay in 1 John. Let me read to you from 1 John 5:15-14. And this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked of him. And so if you think about it, this now gives us some additional context to this verse and helps us see that we can be confident that whatever we ask, we receive, because our heart and our prayer request is in line with God's will. Which then leads us to the conclusion, and I think this is the right interpretation, where we understand that prayer, in interpreting 1 John 3:22, prayer is how God's children confidently ask for and receive from God what they need according to what he knows is best for them. This is how we understand this verse. And we've got to understand it correctly. And you may be asking, and we're almost done with this point, what does this verse on prayer even have to do with our passage about going from condemnation to confidence? And I would say a lot. Because when our heart is assured and we're in a place of confidence in the presence of another person, a friend, a parent, an authority figure, how do we feel in that relationship? We feel very comfortable. We feel very vulnerable. We feel very confident with them, and we're more free to share with them our needs with the confidence that they may be inclined to help us in our needs. Put simply, you will not pray boldly to God if you do not feel comfortable around him. And you will not pray boldly to God if you are not confident of what his will is, which should be informing your prayers. And so again, five reliable sources of confidence for the heart of every Christian: love, God, and here, prayer for the child of God. Let's look at our fourth one. Confidence in Jesus Christ. Confidence in Jesus Christ. Coming from verse 23. And this is his commandment. He's like, like in verse 22, he's like talking about we keep his commandments, we do what pleases him, and you're thinking like, well, what exact commandment is on your mind here? What are you thinking of? He's like, exactly, verse 23, and this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his son, Jesus Christ. That is extremely clear. It's also extremely specific. And that is our faith. I mean, and we love one another just as he has commanded us. Look at, I'll read to you from Acts 4, verse 11. It says, this Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Again, a reliable source of confidence for the heart of every Christian is believing in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son. It's specific, it's particular, it's exclusive. Why do we want to share about Jesus Christ with our neighbor? Why do we want to share about Jesus Christ and the relationship that we have with God through faith in Jesus Christ with our family member, with our friend, with our school friend, with our coworker? Why? Because we know that it is only in the name Jesus Christ that they might be saved. It's not enough that they're our cool friend. It's not enough that they're nice or that they're religious or that they're spiritual or that they're just a great person. For us, it's not enough. We know they need to believe in the name Jesus Christ. And so that's why we're intentional about sharing about Jesus with people. That's why we're going to have a prayer time to send someone out into missions, because it's not enough to be in a sort of post-Christian European nation with churches functioning more as museums than places of worship. It's not enough. You have to believe in Jesus Christ. And that's the point here. And so we find confidence for the heart of every Christian in Jesus Christ. Speaking of from condemnation to confidence, I'll read to you the verse right after John 3:16. It's verse 17. God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Five reliable sources of confidence for the heart. We've looked at one, love. Two, God. Three, Jesus Christ. No, prayer. Four, Jesus Christ. Five, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Look at verse 24. Whoever keeps his commandments abides in God, and God in him. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit whom he has given us. And so what John is saying here in this verse 24, this last verse of our passage, is he is speaking to the experience of a true follower of Jesus Christ. And he is saying that you can know you're abiding in God, and you can know that God's abiding in you, and you can experience God more in your heart. He says, how? He says, by the Holy Spirit. He says, that is to be the experience of the followers of Christ. It's not just an intellectual head trip faith. It's a faith of our head and our hearts. And the Holy Spirit aids and assists and applies our redemption in our lives. Romans 8, 15 through 16, I'll show you. You did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness back in that courtroom with our spirit, that we are the children of God. So good. And so as we close, and as we sing one more song together with the worship team, we started this morning, I read a quote from Pastor D.L. Moody, where he said, many men and women go on month after month and year after year without power, because they do not know their standing in Christ. they are not sure of their footing for eternity. Friends, may this not be us. May we find confidence for our heart in these reliable sources, the love of Christ for the people of Christ, the greatness of God who knows everything and has provided for our salvation, the gift of prayer for the children of God, the saving name of Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit in our hearts. Let's close in prayer.